The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello and welcome. We are so glad to have you here today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We are thrilled to be coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, right here in Southern Oregon on the coast. And we're coming to you from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial or anywhere in the world, any time of day, if you're Woo-hoo. Checking in from podcast.
Yay!
So I am Misty Young. I'm joined by my co-host in the studio, Sherry Carey Baum.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's so great to have you here. And I love the topic we're going to talk about today. And I'm not going to introduce it just yet. What I want to tell our listeners is, before we get started, let's give a very big debt of gratitude and appreciation to the folks behind the scenes at KCIW that helped put together the Ocean Mist Power Hour and that helped run this radio station. This is the little radio station that could, that did, that is, even in the midst of coronavirus. So we're very thankful for those folks who do production, who do sound engineering, and who volunteer on the board of directors or out there in the community as volunteers just to help bring community radio to you. So thank you for being here.
It's such a good thing you're a fast, good talker.
I love talking.
My little tongue would have gotten so twisted up in that. It would have been like, could, would, will, why?
Oh. It's so weird. I'm like one of the, I'm a word person, man.
You're
These things
so
get
good.
Stuck in my head and I love it. So as I said, I'm Misty Young and I'm here with Sherry Carey Baum. Sherry is a registered nurse and holds a Master of Science in Nursing. Sherry is also a former nursing professor with San Diego State University.
I am. They used to call me Professor Scary.
Oh.
Because of my initials, S. Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Scary.
Professor.
I was not mean, but they called me Professor Scary behind my back.
Oh, behind your back. So not to your face.
Oh, heavens, no.
That's funny because Uncle Gary, so I'm married to a guy named Gary, as you know, and the nephews used to call him Uncle Scary.
Oh!
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, today, Sherry, what I love is that you bring a perspective to the topic of health and nutrition that's really unmatched from anyone that I know or hang out with. I mean, you're the person I hang out with the most, and what I love is we're always talking about nutrition, we're talking about health, we're talking about ways and strategies to bring greater health and fitness into our bodies all the time. So whether that's hydration or mindset or our exercise and activity, we always come back to the food.
Always food on the mind, because that is one of our favorite things. We were just talking with, I was trying to teach Gary about a kale salad like 5 minutes ago.
That recipe sounds so good.
It's a good recipe, but your husband was like,
I know.
Raw kale.
It's only because I haven't been very good about providing that to him, so I need to do that. And I was wondering at the end of the recipe, did you say you put cracked black pepper on it? You did. Okay, because
yeah.
I was dreaming about that in my head.
So what the recipe is for everybody listening is it's just fresh kale that you massage. And instead of putting on a bunch of olive oil or fat oil without any nutritional value, what you do is you get a quarter piece of avocado. You dice it up in the kale that you've chopped up or torn up, and then you massage it.
Massage your kale. Okay.
So really, it's like getting your hands in there and just crushing it and crushing it. And you're breaking down the fiber so that it's more chewable, it's got more flavor. And then I add fresh pine nuts and a little bit of lemon, and then cracked black pepper. It's delicious.
I'm seriously telling you, my taste buds are over here.
I know.
Just like watering.
All my saliva glands. It's like, I'm drowning.
I saw something yesterday that said, just for the record, you will have enough saliva in your life to fill two swimming pools.
Right? Oh, that is such a gross graphic.
It is so gross. And in my head, I'm like, what has Facebook come to? You know, that this is the level of information we're finding. People would be so much better off if they were finding information about how to eat things like kale salad and
not saliva
and to make it tasty and we know it's healthy.
Yep.
One of the things that you talk about a lot is rest and restoration. And
Yes, I do.
I appreciate that you're going to talk about rest and restoration today because sleep is so critically important.
Well, and people don't realize it. Do you remember a few years back? Okay, so I might be dating myself.
It's all
good.
This
was the 90s when we all had young kids and you were schlepping them from A to B and school, and most of us had to work.
Yep.
And do you remember how we all used to compare about who was the super mom, who could multitask better than anybody?
Yes.
I still remember women going, I can function on 3 hours of sleep and still get everything done. And I always used to think, are you nice to your kids? Are you nice to your husband? How about yourself or your partners? Are you being nice to them? Because nobody can function on 3 hours of sleep and run the rest of the day.
Right. But there was almost sort of like this unspoken heroism to, you could do everything. The woman of Wonder Woman that could do it all and have it all and this and that. And then, but no sleep means you're sick in your head.
Definitely there are studies that go and talk about sleep and chronic disease. And we already know that if you have lack of sleep, that you're going to reduce your moods. You're going to be crankier. Yep. You're going to be more depressed. You're going to have more mood disorders, honestly. And then you're going to also have an increase in chronic disease. But what is the magic number? Like some people go, oh, I can function on 1 or 2 hours. I literally have heard people say that.
Oh my gosh.
And when I was working nights a lot of times, because remember, I had the kids by myself for quite a while, and I would work nights and then come home and try to keep up with my kids. So basically no sleep until they took a nap. And so I would get maybe an hour, hour and a half for 48 hours as a nurse. That was when I was working 12-hour shifts.
Wow.
It was hard. It was truly, truly hard.
I don't even know how you're still standing. Are you saying like an hour to an hour and a half of sleep and then you would go to bed at night? So you would get this little nap when you got home, but then you would go to bed at night and
48 hours later.
Yeah.
It was really, really hard. And I know I'm not the only one when you have a night shift. It was a trial, and it's hard to function in other ways of your life. And truly, we do know that people who are night workers have more chronic diseases and have more issues because they're not getting the sleep that they require.
You know what I appreciate that you just said, and I'm going to tie it into something else. You said when you get the right amount of sleep, you get rid of your crankiness and you have a better mood overall. I think you said it the other way. You said if you don't get enough sleep, you have higher crankiness and you have poor mood. But what I want to say is I've heard you talk about exercise and exercising your crankies out. So
definitely.
What I realize every time I get together with you, what I realize is there's not one solution.
Oh, no,
it's not,
no.
You're going to get great sleep and the rest of your life is going to be awesome.
Nope.
Right? It's not that.
It's lifestyle medicine.
Right.
It's all about your lifestyle. And you and I have been talking about this because I think we had a show a couple of weeks ago where we talked about exercise. We always talk about diet. Now we're talking about sleep. It's part of the assessment that we have to look at to see how we're functioning and what can we do to better our lives, to add to our lives. And we all know right now with coronavirus, with this lockdown, with, you know, the civil unrest that we're dealing with, we're having a hard time keeping our energy up and our mood up because it feels like we're getting constantly assaulted with bad news.
And the foundation, the lifestyle foundation, there really is this important foundation. Yes, we always talk about food, but in addition to food, there's attitude. In addition to attitude, there's your mindset and your thinking. In addition to that, there's your restoration, your sleep, your activity level, your liquid, right? There's all these different things. The food, of course, is the foundation. And I mean, I have to come back to this idea that food is the foundation just because I had a realization this week. You're going to shake your head when you hear this.
Oh, I love your realizations.
this one is so lame. But you know, I used to say in my own head, like, we're all more alike than we are different, right?
Oh, definitely.
And that's definitely true. And there's very few things that you can say this about humanity. There's very few things that you can say every single human has X, or every single human has Y, or every single human experiences X, Y, and Z. But here's something I can say with certainty. Every single human being now, prior, or ever forward, unless they go digital on us, has a body.
Yes, and has requirements to run that body. It's like a car.
Right.
Do you put gas in the car or do you put sugar, kerosene?
Right.
What's going to happen?
Right.
You know, some cars do run off of French fry fat,
yep.
I hear.
Yep, I had one of those. I had a car that ran on biodiesel.
Did it smell yummy every time you drove?
It smelled like French fries. It truly, truly smelled like French fries. Yes, it was the craziest thing.
I could see all the dogs in the neighborhood going, woo, woo, there she goes.
There's that biodiesel. Yeah. And some cars run on electricity. The question we have to ask is the human body, what is the preferred fuel?
Yeah. And we know that.
And we do.
We know that. And most people do know that. They really do.
Yeah.
But we're here to remind people that a whole food plant-based diet is part of a healthy lifestyle that puts you at your best emotionally and physically.
Yes. And when you talk about a whole food plant-based diet or a whole food plant-based lifestyle, the first word in that is the word whole.
Yep.
Right? And when I think about the word holistic, we've heard that in the health space for, I don't know, the last few decades, but holistic is usually spelled just with an H.
Right.
And I finished a book recently. I think you've read this book recently too. It's called Whole, W-H-O-L-E,
right? Dr. Campbell,
yeah, yes. Rethinking the Science of Nutrition by Dr. T. Colin Campbell. And what he said was, I think it really is holistic with a W in the front of it, because it is about the whole person. It's about the whole lifestyle. It's about all of those factors, whether it's mental, energetic, emotional, spiritual, sleep, restoration.
Oh, God,
all of those things, they all play a part.
It's when our bodies repair itself, is when we're sleeping. It allows you to actually rest. So, highly important.
Talk about that. Talk about how sleep helps you prepare for the next day and repair from the previous day.
Well, we know that sleep is, lack of sleep is associated with chronic disease. And as I said, the optimum for most people, the average optimum for most people is between 7 and 8 hours a night, uninterrupted. And we know as we age, it's not really interrupted.
Right, you gotta get up and pee or whatever, you know.
None of us at 60 and, oh yeah, you're really young. You're much younger, but
none of
us after 50 really have that perfect sleep through the night anymore. But just, are you able to get back to sleep?
Right.
So the studies show us that chronic diseases and sleep are interchangeable, meaning if you're not sleeping well, you have a higher risk of type 2 diabetes. Who knew that?
Wow.
Right? And we're talking about the whole body. So there's no one magic pill to fix anything. We know that if you eat a whole food plant-based diet, you're less likely to have diabetes, or you can rely on the fact that if you change your diet and you already have diabetes, you're going to use less medication.
Right.
If not, reverse the whole course of disease. Cardiovascular disease is associated with lack of sleep also, obesity and depression.
Wow. So here's the really weird question then. Are they causative? You know, is it causative or correlated, right? I mean, that's the question we always have to ask. Is it correlated? So do you have poor sleep because you have cardiovascular disease? Do you have poor sleep because you have diabetes? Or do you have diabetes because you have poor sleep, right?
Don't know.
But we just know those things are related. Right. So the question then becomes, what can I do to reduce cardiovascular disease and get better sleep? What can I do to get better sleep and reduce diabetes, right? I mean, what can we do as a whole person to get a whole lot better lifestyle out of it? And what responsibility do we personally have to make it happen in our own lives?
Well, I personally think that we do have the responsibility, right? If you're going to be unhappy, if you're going to complain, really, truly, trying to find a pill, trying to get a quick fix isn't going to help you whatsoever.
Yes.
Because we know that every quick pill, every quick fix, really, unless we're talking antibiotics, isn't going to make a huge difference.
Right, it's a Band-Aid.
I mean, it's a mask, if you will. And for people who have to take sleeping pills every night, are they getting the restful sleep that their body needs rather than taking a sleeping pill? Right. Which is healthier, which is more restorative.
Mm-hmm.
So taking your health into your own hands, taking it into your own responsibility, I think is one of the best things that we can give as a tool to other people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start with I love quizzes.
Woo-hoo, ooh, okay.
Woo-hoo. Maybe that's because I was a teacher.
You were a teacher. Am I going to pass this quiz or am I going to fail it?
I don't know.
Is it multiple guess? I mean, choice?
No. This is called a sleep quiz. And okay. So basically, it's just points I want you to think about.
Okay.
Do you lie awake for an hour or more before actually falling asleep
lately,
at nighttime?
Yes.
Your brain is spinning.
Yeah, my brain is going nuts lately.
You're thinking too much.
Yep.
And again, do thoughts race through your mind?
Yes.
And that basically are preventing you from sleeping.
Yes. Yeah. And the only thing that really helps me is if I make a list. Like if I'm laying in bed and I'm trying to fall asleep, and I don't think we talked about whether or not I was going to take this quiz online. I'm taking it right now.
What is it? TMI? Too much information.
Yeah, I might not take the whole quiz, but it does help me if that happens. And my mind is just going, because I've had a lot going on lately, like we all have. I'm not some special agent. We've all got a lot going on. That's the nature of society these days. But if I write the stuff down, then I can let it go out of my head. So, okay.
Okay. So, do you snore?
No.
Let's go find Gary. Gary.
When Gary walks through the room, we'll ask him that question. I think I don't snore.
My husband tells me I purr.
I'm like, how cute is that?
Oh, yeah. It's a cute way of saying a woman who snores.
Oh, no way. Oh, my gosh.
I think I snore. Just a little bit.
Just a tiny little bit.
Just a little bit. Do you gasp for breath? Do you go,
no.
Or do you stop breathing? Okay.
Never.
Heart pounding irregularly at night?
Nope.
Sweat while you sleep?
Occasionally.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. And that's a big one, especially for women, because I still remember when I was going through menopause. Holy moly.
Oh, man.
The whole bed would be wet. It was crazy.
Crazy.
You'd actually have to get up and shower.
Yeah.
Now, this one, I can say yes. Do your legs move a lot while you sleep?
Oh, my gosh. Mine don't. I mean, I fall asleep, I'm done.
You're done.
A log, yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad. It hasn't been recently, but there was a time where literally I moved my legs so much, there was a hole in the sheet.
What? No way.
And I hadn't, you wash the sheets, put it back on. You're not really paying attention to the thread count. And I washed the sheets one day and I was like, oh, there's a huge hole right where my feet are. Because I'm like, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
That's crazy. Is it your toenails, do you think, cutting up the sheets?
No. It was jogging in the night.
Weird.
Just wiggling away.
That is so weird.
There's something called restless leg syndrome.
Yeah.
That sometimes people can get where they just feel like they have to move their legs or they get a tingling feeling and whatnot. I don't think that's what I had. I think I was just running.
Yeah, you're just running in your sleep. Well, you run though, don't you?
I do.
Are you a runner, really, or you?
I'm not a good
a walker.
One. I'm a hiker.
You're a hiker, yeah.
I like to run. The only problem is my running speed and my walking speed aren't really different.
Okay. I like race walking. I think that's a lot of fun.
That is fun. That is fun. But no. No,
we should try that sometime.
Lordy.
Let's do it. I want to do race walking.
I'll try, but I have a feeling I'll be like way behind you because you're taller than I am.
Yeah, but when we've gone walking together, we both get a pretty good clip going.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
We do because we start chatting.
I know.
We're moving.
It feels so good. We're moving our crankies out.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
I know.
I like that a lot. Do you wake up earlier than intended? Whoa. Well, hello, I'm a 5 o'clocker.
You're a 5 o'clocker.
I am. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many years have I been doing it?
Right.
So it's kind of
a schedule thing.
Yeah.
I don't wake up earlier than intended. In most cases, I just, when it's time to wake up, I wake up.
Oh, see, that's so lovely.
It is nice.
This
morning,
my daughter did a purse pocket call. Because, you know, she's in Berlin. So she's off, eight-hour difference, right? So my phone rings at like 5:30 and I'm thinking, oh, she wants to talk to me. And she's like, no,
hello,
it's a purse call. I'm sorry. Did I wake you up? I'm like, okay, who are you talking to, Miss Amy?
Right at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's right. You're fine. I'm like, yeah.
Oh,
anyway, do you wake up and can't go back to sleep?
Not often.
I know a lot of friends have that problem. I don't have that problem right now, but I know a lot of people that do. Have headaches in the morning.
Sometimes, very rarely.
And have trouble working or sleeping.
Mm.
Or because of sleepiness, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
do you have trouble at work or school because you're too sleepy?
No.
And a lot of these things, you don't have to answer yes to all of them, but if you have enough of them that you realize that you're waking up tired or you're not getting the amount of sleep you need, you may have an issue with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, some of these things we really can fix them through a whole food plant-based diet. Honestly, like we talked about restless leg syndrome.
Yeah,
see my tongue's doing that little twisty thing,
right?
That I
well,
get
you have
every
your
once
braces on too. I don't know if I've ratted you out on this or not, but to our listeners, you know, you're wearing Invisalign, and those,
yeah.
I had those for almost 3 years, and they really do kind of twist things up, and they get kind of dry, and then your lips stick to your teeth.
And then you have these bumps on your teeth, and people
but
stare at you.
But you know what's cool, though, is, I don't know if you know this, but they're sort of pearlescent, opalescent, so when you're smiling, your smile is extra glowy, you know, it's super pretty.
Does it glow in the dark?
Yeah. Oh my God, they should make those. That would be hysterical, glow in the dark Invisalign. That's awesome.
Yeah, I need them to kind of correct a bite. But anyway, so when we talk about restless leg syndrome, that's where you just have that impulse that you have to move your legs or you move them. And I have had it periodically, but it's interesting because there has been a correlation between that, between lack of iron in the diet and the B vitamins, folate, things like that.
Yes.
So very interesting that you can actually help to reduce those symptoms by eating a lot of leafy greens.
Nice.
Isn't that nice to know?
It is nice
to
know.
So nuts, seeds, legumes, beans, all those things that are really high in iron actually can help you with
your sleep.
Restless leg syndrome.
Oh my gosh.
And your sleep too, because remember, snoring a lot of times, people who snore really loudly have a tendency to be people with a higher BMI,
right?
Because there's more pressure on their chest,
yes.
The airways kind of slightly closing. A lot of people have apnea machines, and it's correlated with a higher BMI. So when you're on a whole food plant-based diet, you're definitely going to lose weight. You're going to feel better, and hey, you're going to sleep better.
You're going to sleep better, yeah. I've been kind of thinking about sort of the global condition right now, right? I mean, people are working from home in a lot of cases. The kids are on school, but then they're off school. They have this hybrid model, or in the case of our kids in Reno, our grandkids, they're going to school, but they're all wearing masks. And then there's all these fires. So they go to school one day, and the next day they're smoked out. Like today, the day that we're recording this, the school district sent out the "you're not coming to school today" message at 6:52 in the morning. By then, a lot of kids are already on their way to school. They've been awakened from their bed. They've had their breakfast. They're dressed.
Right.
They're showered. They're on their way to school, and their mothers or fathers are getting this message saying school's not happening. So there's a lot of stress happening, right? We're wearing masks when we go out into public. We're washing our hands more than we ever have in the past, which is an awesome thing. We're worried about viruses and bacterial loads and all of that stuff. And maybe that's, in some ways, maybe it's good that it has forced us all to become more focused on our health in general. And having said that, maybe we can look at sleep as part of that health cycle and sleep as part of the necessary equation of getting ourselves back into balance. So when we talk about, let's make sure we have hydration, let's make sure we have, you know, good whole food plant-based nutrition. Let's make sure we're moving our bodies right. Let's make sure we're sleeping. And sleep, I think, is kind of, it's at a premium right now. Like, I don't know how to recommend to people, and I'm hoping you can share some ideas for people to get better sleep. I think alcohol probably interferes with sleep too. And I
Definitely.
Know that people are drinking more these days too because the stress level. So what are some natural tactics, some natural strategies, some ways to assure that when you lay down to go to sleep, you're going to get a good, solid sleep?
The magic question.
How do we fix it?
Was I prepared or what?
I imagine you were, and we didn't look at each other's notes before we started.
Nope.
So come on.
Nope. I always try to be prepared, although I'm not always prepared.
You're always prepared.
My heart's in the right place.
Yes.
So some pretty simple things that you can do to accomplish a better night of sleep. And one of them, as you said, alcohol. You know, alcohol makes you sleepy. It's a depressant. We know it's a depressant.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, at about 3 a.m., it's going to wake you up. So you'll fall asleep on the couch. You'll fall asleep in front of the TV. But then as that alcohol wears off and that sugar rush, because remember, most alcohol carry sugar too.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that high and then you get that drop.
Mm.
Same thing with the alcohol. 2 to 3 a.m., you'll notice you're awake. Which is a bummer, right? Because can you go back to sleep? Can you not go back to sleep?
And depending on how much you drank, now you've got, you're super thirsty and you got a headache and you're, you know, you're dried out and you got to pee. And
yep. So also caffeine, which we know, and I've seen people that can drink caffeine in the afternoon. There is no way I can go near it.
I mean, can't either.
10 o'clock. It used to be 12 o'clock. It must be I'm getting old. Now I'm at after 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
No more caffeine. So watch your caffeine, especially in the late hours. They say you should not drink chocolate, cocoa, so hot chocolate, or eat a lot of chocolate, cola, you know, soda pop. Pain relievers even can have things in them like Excedrin migraine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's aspirin and caffeine.
What?
Right? No,
oh,
that's aspirin and caffeine. So you may not even realize the ingredients in what you're taking.
Mm.
So being careful about whether or not you're adding caffeine to your diet.
It's crazy because caffeine is literally a pharmacologic substance, right?
It comes naturally in things, though. But yeah, caffeine will definitely impact your sleep.
Yeah.
So, and tea. People don't realize that a lot of the black teas are very high in caffeine, mm-hmm. sometimes even higher than coffee.
Wow. I love caffeine. I mean,
It is my friend in the morning.
It is my friend, too.
I decided at one point in my life that I was going to stop drinking caffeine in the morning. I was going to be good.
Yeah.
And that was when I had students in the hospital. And they'd come to me at like 6:15 and go, "Professor Carey, I have a question." And I'd look at them very seriously and say, "You do realize I've stopped caffeine, so could you come back in an hour?"
Give me a break, right?
I'm still not awake.
I am not awake.
So their present, you know, they always buy you presents at the end of the semester, and their present was this giant coffee mug that said hospital clinic checklist. And then it was a checklist, and every single item was coffee.
They were wanting to make sure you know that they noticed.
Oh, heck, they noticed. I mean, they noticed everything. Anyway, it was sweet. But you want to stop drinking coffee anywhere from 4 to 6 hours minimum before bedtime.
Yeah,
and that
includes
chocolate, all of those things that have any caffeine products.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like you, I mean, I can drink coffee up until about noon. And if I have any coffee after 12 o'clock, I'm done. And I don't drink anything else that has caffeine in it, right? I don't drink soda or...
Right,
I don't
chocolate. You have to be careful with it. Hot chocolate, tea.
Dude, I am so not eating chocolate right now.
Dark chocolate, 80%, 90%.
88%. I love it, but it doesn't love me back right now. Oh. I'm in my final weight loss mode, you know? Woo-hoo. Like, I know it feels so good. I'm down to, like, just needing, like, 12 pounds off. I actually only need to lose 4 more pounds to be in the completely, totally green light all the way around on all the boards. BMI, subcutaneous fat,
my
golly. Visceral fat, all of that. Yeah, I know. I'm excited. 4 pounds. And then 10 more pounds beyond that, and I'm going to feel like $1 million.
Yeah, you're going to be running up and down those stairs,
yes, ma'am.
Running down the street.
Yeah,
so much energy.
So chocolate and me are not friends right now.
No. Okay, no chocolate. And no caffeine.
All right.
The other thing, which you do a really good job of, you've told me that, is turn off all the lights in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have kids, don't have a cell phone next to your bed.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, I always worry about my kids. So the cell phone is in handy just in case they need me. Like they're 35 and 32.
That's awesome.
The but
they might need their mommy.
The first person they're going to call is mom.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. Hopefully they'll call 911 if they're in trouble.
If they're in trouble,
try not to have electrical devices in your bedroom so that you don't have it.
Just even any ambient light, right? Street lights or lights from the harbor or lights from cars or anything. So, I mean, if you can get blackout curtains in your bedroom. You know, we use those movie star things. Gary uses them religiously. He calls them goggles. It's so cute.
Oh, he calls them goggles.
But it's those little silk eye pillow thingies.
Yeah, I need to get one of those.
Oh, they're so wonderful. I use one in the afternoons if we take naps. If I lay down and I don't put the goggles on, I kind of, you know, I love taking naps. Oh, my God.
You guys
take naps a lot. We love naps.
I'm not good with naps. Now, I have read, though, that you don't want to take naps too long. Longer than like a half an hour.
Yeah.
Because that interrupts your sleep,
It can interrupt your sleep, But the goggles make a difference.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Between the goggles and then ambient noise. I know at our house, we don't have a whole lot of curtains because, hello, I live in the forest.
Nobody can
peek in my house.
Your house is awesome.
It is awesome.
It's awesome.
Nobody's peeking. You can't peek in my house because we're surrounded by trees. But when the moon is full,
right,
might as well be daylight.
Right.
I mean,
it's bright.
It's bright. So the goggles would be perfect.
Yeah.
The other is make it a little bit cool.
Yeah.
So why do you think bats sleep in caves?
Oh.
During the daytime, right? Because it's cool and it's dark. It's the best thing for sleeping.
Right.
Don't you love that? I'm talking about bats.
Right. Aren't bats the global enemy right now? No.
No.
The global enemy is animal agriculture.
Oh. I didn't even go there.
I did.
I know you did.
I took us there. I couldn't help
it. You did, one, because you have a bat that keeps just interrupting your sleep.
I know. You know what's really weird, Sherry, is we have gone into the attic. I'm just going to tell you the bat story.
Tell the story,
I'm going to tell the bat story. So we hear this little sound, and it's inside of the wall right next to our bed, you know, really close, like 4 feet from my bed. And it's the weirdest little sound. It's like...
Oh, that is weird.
Isn't that a creepy sound?
Yeah.
So it sounds like water and crawling.
You do that so well.
Well, it's because I have mimicked it 100 times. So we've been irritated with this bat. And the bat has lived with us now for a little more than a year. So here's the creepy thing. There are no holes. There is no indication. There are no scratch marks, no claw marks, no openings, no guano. There is no indication of a bat anywhere except a sound. That's all we only hear a sound. We've been in the attic. We bought a camera, a tiny little camera.
That
I could attach to the laptop. We drilled holes in the soffit and stuck the camera up there and looked in all directions. There is physically no indication of a bat anywhere on our property. We just hear that little creepy noise.
I have to tell you, it is such a funny story because I can just see you guys. It's like
man versus bat
against bats.
Oh my gosh. And so now we've got things up in our attic that are like up there going, rip, 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 making these horrible noises. And then there's sonic sounds up there too that are completely silent. We've got two silent things. We've got the one that's making all the noise. Oh my God. And actually, we have not heard the bat for like the last three nights.
Oh, see? Moved out.
So
moved
maybe, out. Maybe moved the bat out. Has chosen to move
but
on.
But see, what we're talking about is trying to turn your own bedroom into a cave.
You're right.
Your bat cave.
Your own bat cave.
I like
cave.
That.
Yeah,
turn
sanctuary.
It into your bat cave. Turn it into a sleep-inducing environment.
Nice. All super dark and super cool.
Super dark, super cool, right? And then think about the noise volume. Think about what's going on in the neighborhood. Is it a loud neighborhood? Can you use earplugs? Can you do white sound where there's white sound in the background?
Mm-hmm.
Very soothing.
I'm really curious about something. What's that thing I'm thinking of? What about those blankets that...
Oh, those weighted blankets.
Those weighted blankets.
You know, those are fun. I've never tried one, but I've read about them a whole lot. You know, they use them for dogs in storms because the weightedness gives them security.
Yeah.
I think the weighted blankets are really nice when you have a whole lot of stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
It's really kind of
like a little hug that
you
put on your body.
Supposedly, it's supposed to really reduce your stress and anxiety. So, hey, it's worth a try if you've got a really hectic life and you don't know what to do.
It might be worth trying.
It's definitely worth trying. The other thing we talked about, keeping it cool.
Yep.
Between 60 and 75 degrees, because you don't want to wake up like you're in menopause again.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be awful?
It's funny, because every guy in the world who's had a wife go through menopause, you know, they all say the same thing, just like, oh, well, get ready, put your seatbelt on, you know.
Yeah.
covers on, covers off.
Well, and cranky.
And
by the way, if you roll over on their side, the sheets are wet.
So gross. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but you know what? I've left menopause now that I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It really, not for our male listeners, I don't think they'll really get into this, but I don't think there was anything that was more empowering other than childbirth.
Yeah.
Once you go through menopause and you grace, you know, gracefully, ungracefully, doesn't matter. It's such a really cool life cycle for women.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think as women, we're really lucky. Now, is it easy? No.
Right.
But it's really empowering. It's like now you're through menopause. You're in another whole...
A whole nother phase
of
life.
Sherry.
It is. It is kind of like a rebirth in a way, right? Like you go through your reproductive phase where... And it is quite mysterious, the idea that you can birth a whole new human.
Holy,
you can grow a whole new human,
birth
the whole new human, completely and personally sustain the whole new human. You know, it is pretty amazing. And then you can be done with that and never do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the part about menopause. It's kind of like this whole rebirth of the woman.
It
is. In a way, yeah.
And in a way, for women, again, sorry guys, but it is a rebirth. You know, we go through puberty.
Right. That's
you know,
a new cycle
in
your
life. Yep. And you go through motherhood and send those people off to college, which was a little bit devastating. I mean, I'm going to throw that in there. At this point, that was harder on me than menopause. And menopause took 10 years, but whatever.
Yes. That's funny. You'll appreciate this. This just is such a great thing. We are so alike in so many ways, and we're so different in so many ways. When our oldest daughter, Shyla, turned 18, she moved out like immediately. She goes, okay, great. I'm done. And she was in college, you know,
right.
She was already going to college and she was living at home and she turned 18. And within 3 weeks, she had her own place. And
dang.
I just told her, we were together recently. And I said, I was pretty impressed that at age 18, you know, you had the wherewithal to just be done. And she goes, well, that was what you intended, right? Like you intended me to grow up and move on and get on my own way. And I said, yes. And what was really cool was, not ever one time did she ever come back and say, not once, can I move back in? In fact, we lived
really?
With her. Yeah, we had to move into her house for a little while, which was kind of funny. It's a different story, but she never asked for any help
at all,
not even one time. We went to her place once and we discovered there was very little food in the fridge and there were no cleaning supplies. So we went and we did a big shop and we bought her all these cleaning supplies. And other than that, we never helped her once with rent, car payment, insurance, nothing. She was very self-sufficient. And then, this is even funnier, Kay did the same thing. She turned 18 and she moved out. Like,
oh my gosh.
She was in the hospital on her 18th birthday. Short version of the story, she got bit by a black widow spider. She had a horrible, horrible reaction. She was in the hospital and on her 18th birthday, she's in the hospital. She finds a place. She moves to the place. I mean, like she gets out of the hospital, comes to the house, gathers up her stuff and moves out.
Oh,
that's
my
how
gosh.
My kids did it. But the worst part of it is, this is the part of the story I love the most. We're on the driveway and we're goodbye, sweetheart. And we're waving and her car's all packed down and we're waving to her and we're, you know, like hugging and tears and all of that stuff. And the second that car was out of sight, we leaped and we were jumping jacks in the middle of the street. We were so excited because we were so thrilled.
We are so up. I remember I took my son to college and I was crying so much on the way up that he said, Mom, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to pull over and I'm going to kick you out.
Oh my God.
Like, what? My kids both moved back home and as a matter of fact, my son not only moved back home, he brought two friends with him.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's funny.
That lasted about 6 months, but that was pretty funny. Boy, my husband is a patient man because, you know, these are new stepkids. And he's like, at 21, he's moving back and he's bringing two other guys.
Men. Are you sure we're going to let him do this, honey? You're like, well, he is my son. You got a whole package when you married me, sweetheart.
Yep.
That's funny.
So, but let's get back to sleep hygiene.
Yes.
Isn't that a lovely word, you guys? It's like sleep hygiene.
Sleep hygiene. Well, it is. It's one of those things that you have to protect it like you protect your health in other ways, right? I mean, we think of hygiene as I'm going to wash and I'm going to keep sanitary and all of that. It's sleep sanitation. It's sleep hygiene. You have to be intentional about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you have a pet, just double check that pet can sleep through the night if he's sleeping in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Otherwise, you might have to train the animals to sleep in another room just so that you're not interrupted because you can't be productive. You can't have a good day if you're not getting enough sleep.
Right.
So just think about all those other things. And then Your bedroom is your bedroom. That's where you sleep. That's where you
have your sanctuary. Yeah.
Your sanctuary, your intimacy, but it's not where you do business. It's not where you bring the computer and work on it all night long, or don't bring your homework into bed and fall asleep in front of your homework. Make that room special.
Thank you for sharing that with me. I do. I take a laptop in my bed.
You know, it's not good. And remember the blue light with the computer that actually stimulates part of your brain. And you'll notice I have giant glasses.
Yeah.
These actually block the blue light.
Oh, no kidding. You know what? I can see the sun kind of coming in from the background. They have a little rose tint to them, don't they?
Well, that's
you're wearing rose-colored glasses. It's very slight, but I can see. Yeah, it's very, very slight.
So when I know that for the whole day, because like today, I'm probably going to be on the computer all day. So when I'm on the computer all day, I make sure I wear glasses that block out some of that blue light because it's stimulating.
Right.
And you don't want that to happen. In a full day, 8 hours working on a computer, you're going to have a hard time shutting down your brain.
Dude, this is making so much sense. The last week or so, specifically, I have had an awful lot of writing to do and word processing and research and all that kind of stuff and some social media that I just, you know how much I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I've been doing it at night and then I can't fall asleep.
You can't fall asleep. Your mind is going. Yeah. It's like triggered that adrenaline.
Weird.
It's triggered something. So get either the blue tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Or they're not actually blue tinted. They filter out the blue light.
Right.
Or just don't do computer work a couple of hours before bedtime.
That's such good form. I'm not bringing the laptop in the bed anymore.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. And I find, I don't know if you're like I am, but I find that when I work late at night, it's pretty crap. I might as well not have done it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm way better first thing in the morning. Like that's my prime time right there.
When I was in college, I would go to bed with the kids, 8:39, and then I would wake up at 3 a.m. and study.
Right.
Because I knew that was when I would retain the information. I just know my clock. It's knowing your rhythms. And I know after 7 o'clock, I'm pretty much worthless.
You know what I love about what you just said is knowing your own rhythm, knowing your own clock, but it's also knowing who you are and what you want to get accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's important to you to accomplish it, then respecting that time and saying no to other things that can compete with that, right? Like we learned recently, schedule something at a time that works for you that doesn't have an oppositional pull that's pulling your attention away, right?
Oh my goodness, isn't that smart advice?
Right.
Let me tell you how many multitasking things I do sometimes that I have to ask people to repeat what they've said to me because I wasn't listening at all.
Yeah.
I was sitting here doing something else the whole time. So I have to be really cautious that I don't do that. But you're right. And I want people to think, if you're working on your computer, it's something that you want to get done. So devote that time to that. If you're talking to somebody you care about, devote that time to that conversation.
Be there. Yeah,
and,
be there, right there.
You know, I'm not telling everybody on the radio to do that. I'm telling Sherry to do that.
Yes, I'm hearing it too.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
It's not. This whole idea that we're somehow heroes when we can multitask and parallel track and all of that stuff. It's just, it's weird. You know, I mean, I think there's something to be said for focus. There's something to be said for being able to single track.
Absolutely.
And be more effective and get things done. And there's something about that that feels good. I don't know about you, but I love slaying a to-do list and getting my stuff checked off.
Well, and whoever you're giving attention to, what a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many times when the kids were little and you were like, yeah. And you have no idea what they said to you. Right? And unfortunately, we're all doing that. So sleep hygiene, having enough rest helps you to focus on what you want to focus on instead of having a scattered brain.
Yeah.
So that's your bedroom. Let's keep it quiet, cool.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Dark.
Yes.
Don't bring all your homework, all your computer work, all that other stuff into the bedroom. If you're on the computer all day, consider investing in some kind of a pair of glasses that reduce the blue light.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want you to start thinking about when you had children. I don't know if you guys did this, but we always had bath time.
Yep.
And then we had reading time.
Kind of have a routine,
you
right?
You have a pre-bed routine.
Yeah.
So when you were done with these cute little books, which were quite fun, I have to say.
Yes,
reading to my kids. When you were done with the books, that was an automatic cue, it's bedtime. Do that as an adult. So maybe take a warm shower before you go to bed. Maybe get some kind of a light book that you like to read.
Yeah.
Just light reading, though. I mean, right. I can't tell you how many times I started a Stephen King book. And right. then 3 a.m., I'm like, oh, everybody does die. In a horrific,
that's not light reading.
Detailed way.
Oh, yeah.
I like Stephen King. I know. Creepy, but interesting.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are going to be reading, avoid stressful books. You know, maybe read about whole food.
Yeah.
Education.
Yeah. Well,
research.
You know, that's all I read. I mean, come on. Like, literally on my nightstand is whole rethinking the science of nutrition, how not to die, how not to diet, undo it. I mean, there's just like one health book
stack.
After the next.
I know. And I got to get back into them. But do things that practice relaxation. Maybe even meditation is a great way to wind down and get ready for bed.
Yes.
So maybe a warm shower. Meditation.
Uh-huh.
And we've talked about meditation on this radio before, and it's nothing magical, mystical. All it is calming your mind.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Breathing in, and you can do different repetitions for breathing in, like breathe in four, you know, one, two, three, four.
Mm-hmm. Hold for a moment.
Hold for a moment. Let your air out to the count of six.
Mm-hmm.
And that slows your mind down. It slows everything down. It makes your focus on your breath. Mm-hmm. So do 5-10 rounds of slow breathing mm-hmm. before you fall asleep. Maybe light yoga, stretching mm-hmm. yoga before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I don't want you doing jumping jacks and mm-hmm. all these powerful poses mm-hmm. in yoga, but you could do relaxation yogas mm-hmm. that help to slow down your mind. Calm your body down too, especially if we talk that someone has an issue with restless leg syndrome or anxiety. There's a couple poses that you can look anywhere on the internet to learn how to do some poses prior to sleep.
I love it. And there's a kind of yoga that I'm going to encourage our listeners to look up. And you can find this on YouTube. This kind of yoga is called Yoga Nidra.
I love yoga nidra.
I love yoga nidra. Yoga nidra they call it a sleep-based meditation that is not sleep at all. And it is a guided visualization meditation strategy, but you do it in a laying down position. So you're laying down on the floor, you're super comfortable, and then the person who's leading the meditation leads you through this relaxation process, oftentimes starting at your head or your toes, and then clenching and relaxing, clenching mm-hmm. and relaxing all the way up through your whole body. And then once you get to the part of physical relaxation, you literally feel like you're going to fall asleep.
Yes.
And then they're like, do not fall asleep, right? They're like, do not fall asleep. Engage with this process and stay with this process and stay right there on that edge of sleep and listen. And then you listen in and you go through a meditative, restorative phase. And sometimes you'll have a phrase or a goal in mind that you've put into the yoga nidra. So maybe your goal is, I want to have more energy on a daily basis, and I'll be looking for strategies to have more energy. So maybe you say that. And in the yoga nidra, they'll say, okay, and now's the time for you to insert your goal statement, right? So you're listening,
that.
And then you say, I want to have more energy and more blah, blah. And then they bring you back out of the yoga nidra. What I've heard from yoga nidra, and I read a whole big long book on this and it was fascinating, is that a 45-minute session can be the equivalent mind-wise or body-wise of like 3 hours of sleep.
Wow.
Right? So if you could do that in the middle of your day, could you imagine? But then still have your 8 hours of sleep at night?
Man,
you're just like,
you'd be
so
powerful.
Yeah.
Now, could you fall asleep if you did that to yourself, or you got a recording of it,
yes.
and in bed you
yes.
go through that relaxation,
yes.
that breathing, and then you fall asleep.
And there are some yoga nidras that are designed to drop you off into sleep.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So you can look those up on YouTube, or who knows where else you can find those, but they're out there.
They're wonderful. And we're advocating slow yoga. I don't want
right.
you to go for a run at 8 o'clock at night and then expect to be able to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because when you do a lot of stressful activities like say you get in a huge fight with your spouse, or
that's a little stressful.
That's a little stressful. Or you go jogging and then you expect to fall asleep. You're really not going to, because what you've done is increase your hormone, the cortisol hormone, stress hormone, and you've got that circulating through your body. So you're really going to have a hard time falling asleep, because that hormone makes you more alert.
I have a question for you. You know that I have a treadmill desk, and I'm often walking on my treadmill desk and doing my studies. But lately, I've been treadmilling at night, and I mean really slow, like 1 mile an hour. But last night, I walked for 2 hours right before I went to bed. Like, I turned off the computer and the desk and everything
right
at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. Because that's not good,
is it? I probably wouldn't do that.
Yeah, maybe try to get that in the middle of the day, or?
Yeah, definitely. And then at nighttime, if you do have stressful situations that you've done right before bed, take a nice warm bath, maybe a cup of chamomile tea.
Ooh, yeah.
Have some kind of a ritual that says to your body and your mind, it's bedtime.
I like that you suggest ritual. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, because that's what we're doing with our kids, with bath and then book time.
Story time, yep.
And then it's bedtime.
Yeah.
And it's a ritual. They know this is happening typically.
Right.
So it helps them to have sleep. The other thing is, which you already mentioned, write down things that are stressing you out.
Yes.
Like, let's say you're worried about bills, you're worried about your job. Write those down and go to sleep. You won't forget them. You've written them down. You don't have to think about them anymore.
Right.
Write them down on a pad of paper and then go to sleep. You can address that pad of paper tomorrow morning.
Nice. I love it.
So a nice way to kind of ease into it. The other thing is, don't have a clock in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You know, you can set an alarm that'll wake you up, but don't have that clock looking at you. And I know if you go away or you're in a hotel or something, you've got that clock and you look at it and you're like, oh, geez, it's 3. How am I ever going to go fall?
Right.
You know, you start spinning your brain into this cycle.
Right. Mentation. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
You're awake. Stay awake. Nap early or not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Lighten up your evening meal. Try
not
to have this huge load of food in your stomach and then top it with a gallon of ice cream.
Ew.
You know, eat lighter. That evening, we already know it's a good thing to try to eat light. And when we talk about light, we're talking whole food plant-based, because it's low calorie, right?
Yep.
It's pretty digestible food. It's
high
not going to be sitting in there just loading you down. So eat light. Try to eat earlier. Like, some people eat at 8 or 9 or 10. Hello, who are those people?
Oh, who are those people?
I think they live in Spain, but I'm not sure.
They live on the East Coast, man. East Coast people, they're like, yeah, we're going out to dinner. I'm like, dude, it's 8 o'clock at night. Oh, yeah, well, we've got our reservation.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
I've been in Spain, and they don't eat till 10 o'clock. And I've been knocking on the restaurant door going, please feed me.
Oh,
I'm an American.
God.
We eat at 6. It's now 8. Please feed me.
Right? I mean, I like to finish up my food by like 5
if I can. I like
to eat really early. More like a supper than a dinner, you know?
I'm one of those weird people that 6 o'clock.
Six o'clock. We eat at 6 o'clock.
You're
kind of ritualized, though.
You know? 6 o'clock. Everybody's at the table. And I guess I did it because that's with my kids and all their sports. Everybody knew you had to be done because dinner was at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
weird.
That's awesome. Yeah.
My poor kids, I probably so messed their brain up.
I don't think so. Your kids are lucky.
I love them. They're so wonderful. So lighten your meal and eat at an earlier time. Don't eat at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to bed at 9, don't eat at 8 o'clock if you can help it.
Yeah.
Eat,
well, and given that whole snacking thing, too, right? I mean,
doesn't
when you're
happen
done,
at
you're
our
done.
House. Yeah.
Not in
done,
my body, but it happens in my house. Let's put it that way. I'm not ratting Gary out or anything.
It's the bat.
That's right. I hear the cereal bowl, you know, at 9:30 at night. That was the bat. Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
He's good at that refrigerator.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Try not to snack. You don't need that ice cream at 10 o'clock. Balance your fluids. Please don't drink a boatload of fluids at 7 o'clock at night because you are guaranteed to get up, especially as we age. So drink the majority of your fluids early in the morning, you know, morning, afternoon, whatever, but to be drinking a whole lot of fluids after 7, just like kids, you know,
right.
Didn't we do that with our kids?
Right.
Because we didn't
yeah.
want them to wet the bed.
Right.
You know, you kind of stopped
yeah.
at dinner time.
Right. Yeah. You kind of have to train your kids. Yeah. We have to kind of go back through. It's a retraining. It's personal retraining,
it
isn't
is.
It, in
well,
a way?
Well, it's spending time on ourselves. It's caring about ourselves, saying that your sleep matters.
Yes.
My sleep matters to me.
Yes.
Because I care about me
yeah.
and my body and my health.
Yeah.
And I also care about the people around me because, you know, people don't like it when you're really cranky.
Right. Exactly. They don't like
don't
it when you're
friends.
Cranky or when you're, yeah, when you're short with them or when you're not focused or when you're not yep. able to get your stuff done, you know, whatever it is.
And then the last one, exercise early.
Yeah.
You know, we already talked about it. Don't
yeah.
go out for a run at 8 o'clock at night and
yeah.
expect to fall asleep at 9. But all of these things are very individual. So looking at what is your sleep pattern and what is your health pattern, and then what do you want to accomplish, right? We
mm-hmm.
know that you can reduce chronic disease through nutrition, sleep,
yeah.
right?
Right.
Hydration,
yep.
water.
Yep.
All of these things are tying in together.
I love that you tie all those things together. They do tie together. There's no way around it. And as we're in this global pandemic era right now,
oh,
we
huge.
Have to
keeping
look at
keeping healthy.
Yeah, yeah, we have to look at all these factors to our health. We have to look at all these factors to how do we combat underlying conditions? How do we gird up against viral
right.
load? How do we make ourselves the healthiest beings that we can be?
It's encompassing your whole health.
Yes.
And I, you know, as I'm saying this, I'm making a world, you know.
Yeah,
your
with your
body
hands, you're
is
showing
your
the
world.
Globe. Yeah.
Right? Right? It's your health. So
it's your community.
Physical exercise, healthy, whole food, plant-based,
mm-hmm.
vegetables, legumes, rice, complex carbohydrates, fruits.
Nuts and seeds and spices, yeah.
Feeding your body what it needs to heal. And run properly, just like that car.
Yep.
You know, let's not have it run on French fries.
Right.
Let's have it run on healthy food, sleep, hydration, and exercise. I mean, that's what your body is begging you. And that would be if we all came with a instruction manual.
Right.
That would be in our instruction manual.
Right.
And
so
it's
this is life's
what we're
little
teaching
instruction
our children.
Manual. Yeah. Yep.
But it's
yeah.
what we teach our children too,
yeah.
right? We
yes.
tell you got to move, you got to exercise, you got to sleep. Have you been drinking enough? What did you eat today? I mean,
right.
we nagged our children. Why aren't we nagging ourselves?
Well, we are. And now we're nagging
and
you.
And now we're nagging you. I love it.
Well, this has been yet another awesome conversation. I love that we're able to sit down and really look at how do we create health in our own human bodies intentionally and doing
right.
it in a holistic way, as you've discussed, whether it's sleep or liquid or activity or the real true foundation of a whole food plant-based approach to living. All of these things matter.
They do.
Yeah.
And we care about everybody who listens to this because we want you to have the best choice and the best life you possibly can. And we know this is the path. Otherwise,
awesome.
We wouldn't do this every week.
That's awesome. Well, that's the best place to end it. So thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Being here. And thank you to our listeners. We appreciate you. And we'll see you again soon on the Ocean Mist Power Hour.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.